This is the November 27 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online, listen to us on demand at willag.org, willag.org. Our panelists for this edition of Commodity Week include Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, from Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson in Hollister, Missouri, Jackie Vakes, and Brian Stark of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County, Illinois. Chuck happens also to be a farmer, so I began the conversation by asking him to tell me about the 2019 growing season.
Very frustrating year as far as production, Todd, as we start out the early planting season, just deteriorated and became, as we know, one of the worst, wettest planting seasons across the nation we've ever had. Farmers were pretty patient early on, but as we moved into the end of May and beginning of June, the decision had to be made to plant or not take prevent plant. I think from what I gather from a lot of farmers and myself included, I'd wish we'd taken more prevent plant than we did. That seems to be a common theme all over the country, because as we planted later into beginning to the middle of June, we really struggled. And at the end of the day, we see these problems with a lot of wet crop and the cost of drying and the difficulty of getting that final harvest done. The other thing that I guess bothered me as a farmer producer for many years, we've spent a lot of time trying to avoid compaction and doing cover crops and different things to treat our soils correctly. And gosh, we broke a lot of rules there as producers when we went out in the mud to get the crop in. Lots of different reasons why we did that. But at the end of the day, it seems like this year has been extremely frustrated, and there's still a fair amount of crops left out west in this country. So I feel for those guys out there. I don't know how that's really going to get resolved with this latest storm that's impacted the farmers in the Western Corn Belt.
So this has been a difficult production year. It's not been an easy marketing year. And I think a large part of that was because it was so late. And it wasn't exactly about MFP payments generally, although there were some things that with the trade negotiations on and off that probably caused producers to think. But it was just so late, it was really hard to get a handle on how much crop a producer thought they might have in the field. I suppose that was really difficult when you got into that July period and prices were so very high.
It was part of the reason farmers did anticipate why we should plant later than we probably should have. We thought the price would be significantly higher. A lot of $5, $6 corn numbers were thrown around. That seemed as a realistic number, but the USDA reports seemed to discontinue to be bearish reports after the initial first report was very positive. So when you combine the facts of producers looked at the market, thought it should be higher, and then the reports didn't reflect that, big debate over how many prevent plant acres. We always thought early on there was 10 million, but we didn't anticipate that farmers would potentially plant 90 million. So a lot of information, a very unique situation. I don't think modern agriculture has ever experienced the combination of tariffs. And then when you come back with the kind of weather we had, it was a really unique and made things extremely difficult to know what was the right answer, what was the right decision.
And then you're still faced with a similar problem, I suppose, today with the corn that has been harvested because of so much corn still being in the field. Basis has been reflecting a short crop. USDA's numbers are smaller, of course, but not as short as many as thought they would be. And the fifth largest, I think, corn crop still on record if it were actually to all come in. And producers are still facing difficult decisions, even as it relates to marketing this crop. And as you mentioned, if they're still harvesting, they've got an awful lot of drying and other expenses that are related to bringing in a crop so late.
Well, I think that was one of my frustrations all along is I feel USDA was trying to use a normal methodology against a very abnormal planting, you know, conditions, and trying to evaluate this crop was, you know, it was difficult to do, but I think when you go back and look at some of the issues right now are test weight. Some of the farmers I work with in the western states are having 50-pound test weight corn. It's still 30% moisture. Obviously, when you looked at that corn crop early on and said it's so long, the kernel is this long and the number around and the weight of it, you might think that's going to have a very high yield. But when that crop got killed prematurely by the weather, then you get low test weights, and obviously that takes away a lot of the value of that corn crop. The energy's not there. It takes more bushels to get it, whether you're using ethanol or feeding. So I still think at the end of the day, the amount of bushels aren't there. And number two, with this weather pattern, how many unharvested acres are farmers in the Dakotas? Seems that going to be a very big number, much bigger than what USDA has said so far.
Yeah, we'll find out as time progresses, and maybe we'll know by the time we get to the January report. That seems unlikely at this point, and we may have to have some more discussions, or USDA might have to have some more discussions with farmers. They'll talk to about 80,000 producers across the United States of all crops in the month of December, get a better idea of what they think they'll actually have in the harvest and what yields look like for corn, soybeans, wheat, and all other crops. So we'll find more about that in the January report. Of course, we won't have an update of the numbers, crop production numbers, in December. There is a crop production report, but it's for oranges and cotton, not for corn and soybeans. Do you think that they'll find usage numbers or demand figures that need to be reconfigured in the month of December in the WASDE or supply and demand, World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate?
Well, I think that's been one of the problems with corn in particular is the demand side of the equation has been rather weak, and we can relate that to several things probably, but you know, the tariffs and the problems we've had there as far as really picking up export business in the world. Our livestock numbers, our hog herd is very high. We're using a lot there, but the funds have decided, you know, that the demand is more important than a potential crop loss. So that's really a driver that could come out in the next report, although they've kind of, in previous reports, have reduced the demand side of the equation. Maybe a little more reduction is reasonable going into that December report.
Cash bids across the whole of the United States have been strong for both corn and soybeans, particularly for corn, and in prevent plant areas can be really pretty strong. There are some places in Indiana, in Ohio, even here in Illinois, where we're still have bids that are really, really good. Sometimes the market and the analyst will say, well, the cash bids are going to have to do the heavy lifting. Is there something that producers need to think about as it relates to the market? Because generally when it has this strong of a bid, that's a sign that they should be selling a crop.
I think with the amount of crop that's left out there, and I think harvest will come to a really screeching halt here, and the last part of this is going to be very difficult. The basis is good now. I think one thing, though, is producers who do have this crop in the bin, it might be difficult now to pull bushels away from a farmer, even though the basis is good. The basis may have to get better in the month of December for those farmers who have put bushels in the bin to pry it out of their hands. When you look back in the last 3 or 4 years, in general, it is paid for the producer to hold on to those bushels. So I think the mindset of the farmer at this point is thinking that the crop yield is going to come down. They just got the crop put away in the bin, and they'll probably be willing to sit on their hands here and see what happens and see if that basis can really get stronger as we move into the next month or so.
As we go forward, what are the fears that you might have, if that's the case? And I'll lay out a couple of them, but I don't know whether you will agree or disagree with these as possibilities. So corn acreage in the United States for 2020 could be big, I suppose. The South American crops to this point are in good shape, and they could come out just about on time. And if they have a big corn crop there, that could continue to put some pressure on the marketplace as well. All of those things would start to tumble in that February, March time frame to begin with, and then again in June and July.
It certainly is a question of how many acres we're going to have next year. A lot of wheat is not going to get planted, didn't get planted, so it's obviously going to end up being corn and beans. One of the thoughts, though, as far as how many acres you're going to have, there's still a lot of acres that have cropped in the field. A lot of field work in the western states has not been accomplished. So going into the spring of 2020, I'm guessing USDA will probably come out with 94 or 95 million. That seems to be a common number. But I think acres are always going to be there till we figure out that we can grow something else beside corn and beans, and that's not likely coming up here in 2020. So we're going to have plenty of acres. South America looks like they're on track for an okay crop. So those are the negatives to the futures market. But again, on the basis side, if this crop is really short or really can't get the energy out of those bushels that are left out there because of low test weight, I still feel the cash market's going to be strong.
Chuck, it's been very good to talk with you. Thanks so much. Any final word?
I think pretty much just farmers have been very frustrated by the whole year. And hopefully this winter we can regroup and get re-energized and come up with a battle plan. And hopefully 2020 is going to be a lot maybe easier year production-wise, and maybe the tariff war will end.
Chuck Shelby is with Risk Management Commodities from Lafayette, Indiana. Joined us on our Commodity Week program. We recorded with him on Tuesday. Wednesday morning, I spoke with Brian Stark from the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. He manages the grain elevator here. And I started by asking him about the late season harvest and how the new drying system that they put in earlier in the decade was working. This is the first time it's really been tested.
Yeah, I mean, we've had some updates along the way. We had a new tower dryer in 2010. It changed our dump capacities, expanding down to six dumps compared to the eight, but we can now unload full semis in one stop versus each hopper individually. So we've increased efficiencies, but this year's crop obviously was a challenge, similar to 09 with how wet it was. We knew expecting going into it, it was going to be that way simply based on planting dates and a lot of our crop being planted the first part of June, late May. And it played out to a T where a lot of the corn coming in was in the low 20s to 23-24% moisture. And that becomes not just a space issue, but a dryer capacity issue. And even with new efficiencies, you can only handle so much wet corn at a time. We were able to do some things creatively to be able to accommodate the customer and be able to handle it at normal speed. We really didn't have any backup, so to speak, like we did in 2009, where a lot of the area in East Central Illinois were running half days. We never got into that scenario. But as we say, when you start to wrap up harvest, there's still a lot of work to be done with ground piles, with catching up on the dryer, those sorts of things that take time to unwind and get in position to continue to put through corn into the demand component domestically. So, yeah, it's been challenging, but I think for all intents and purposes, it worked pretty smoothly for the most part this year.
How big is the ground pile at the Anderson Champaign?
Sure. Normally, our ground capacity is about 4 million bushels, and this year we only piled our round pile, which is roughly about 1.5 million. So from that standpoint, we were able to, with the way the market has been strong in the east, the market from a basis perspective was telling the elevator, the grower, to sell into that strength. Historically, basis has been very strong. So we put through a lot of grain versus putting it on the ground, and I think that was the right decision based on what the market was signaling us to do.
So you were railing out corn by train very quickly then, I take it?
Yes. We had quite a few trains coming in, and I think that's been the mindset. I think when you have a wet crop like this, it's very hard. And you know, as I think back to 2009, when we did pile a lot of grain, you know, you have to dry that crop to condition to pile it on the ground. And that's one reason I think we were able to sustain a lot of our normal hours and handle the crop, because we didn't have to necessarily do that immediately. And I think a lot of commercial facilities were under the same type of incentive to try and put through grain on rail simply based on the strong domestic eastern basis. And I think that still stays the case. I know that that'll be a topic we'll want to focus on here. But as you move forward, I think that strength is going to continue to have to do the work as we look at the board falling down to recent lows. And in order to get movement into the demand channels domestically, I think a basis is going to have to do a lot of the work here in the short term.
So folks probably shouldn't make too much of the lack of ground piles, at least in our part of the world, and going to the east then.
I think that's a mixed bag. You know, I think that's part of it. You can, on one side, you can argue that there wasn't a lot of corn that went to the ground simply based on the strength of the demand side of the equation in eastern rail basis, eastern ethanol domestic processor basis. That all encouraged that movement. But at the same time, we are down 10 to 15% year over year in yield. So I think some of it kind of lulls you to sleep a little bit, that the crop is smaller, and it'll be interesting to see how the government views that as we get to the January report here in another 45 to 60 days. So I think there's a mix to say that, yes, we see some lack of ground piles based on strong domestic basis. But on the other hand, there's also a component that we did have a smaller crop here in East Central Illinois as well.
Cash prices, basis, has been very strong. Do you expect that strength to continue?
I do. I do, especially in the month of December. Generally, historically, when the farmer wraps up harvest, which, you know, isn't completely done yet, we still have some corn to get after, even after the holiday this week. But I think ultimately, once that happens, the bin doors tend to shut, and that's my point. The current market, the cash market, even with strong basis, it's hard to get up to that $4 magic mark that he's hoping to be able to attain at some point. So when you don't have the work of the board doing some of that movement, encouraging movement, then basis has to do some. And we've already seen strengthening basis or basis appreciating here the last 10 days to 2 weeks. And I expect that to continue into the month of December. And then when the calendar year rolls over, we'll see what type of coverage the end user has booked. He's been living hand to mouth since the latter part of summer. Once we got through and felt like, okay, we've got planning done. The crop maybe isn't as dire as we originally thought. And I'm referencing back to the August government report. And so the end user went back from, you know, breaking his habit the last few years of living in the spot hand-to-mouth market. He started to book some deferred coverage as a backstop, and then immediately went back to hand-to-mouth consumption. And you know, if for some reason they do book some deferred coverage, then maybe you see a little bit less of an appreciated market where the market takes a break as we enter January, February, March. Historically, that is a 90-day window when a lot of movement happens off the farm for cash flow reasons as we head towards the planting season. So that might be the only blip in the radar. But I think ultimately, as you think about the domestic movement, at least in the eastern part of the Corn Belt, I expect strength in December, and then maybe a little bit of a setback the first 3 months of the year. And then, as typical, next spring and summer, corn basis could be very strong again.
So for grain that's in storage, commercial storage, Do you think that which will be up in January will be marketed, or will producers hold on to it?
I really think from a producer level, it's generally about the cash price. You know, we've seen a lot of interest in locking in basis contracts this fall with the strength historically of the basis. But I think ultimately, from a pricing perspective, they want to see a market rally. I think most of them want to see what the January report from the government says about the size of the crop. But ultimately, I think the driving force of whether we get to a point where they have to either sell a price around $4 that they're targeting or readjust their targets will be driven based on demand. Demand has been the trump. We've talked about this for the last 2 to 3 months that has really hurt, even with a smaller crop and any type of sizable rally. And I think that until that demand component changes, the market's going to sit here and kind of in a range-bound, grind-lower type of environment, which adds to the theory that basis would have to stay relatively strong to encourage movement moving forward. But I don't think the producer is in any rush today to market or sell grain.
Which contract do you think producers are mostly in? They must be in the March contract for basis, right?
Right. They're in the March today. Most of them are in the March. We have a few that have locked in basis equivalent to the May and July, but the vast majority are in the March, and that gives them a couple different things. They get to watch South American weather. They get to see the January crop report. They get to see kind of how the market vies for acres with the crop insurance discovery period in February. They don't have to make a decision until the end of February. So they've got some time on their hands, but I think the key is going to be having a plan in place so that you don't get into a pattern of continually rolling, because in a market that lacks a strong demand base and we don't have the supply concerns we had this past summer and spring, what tends to happen is the lead month where December goes off the board, your next month tends to gravitate towards that level as it gets into delivery at the end of March. So we don't want to give up the carry and watch that continue to erode as the market lacks a demand story. So it's important that we set targets in place that are realistic. And I think in the next 60 to 90 days, we'll have a better depiction of what demand may look like, how South America's crops developing, and what our final crop size looks like.
It would seem, given the number of basis contracts that were likely written on grain storage, it puts a great deal of pressure on the futures to carry the load.
It does. It does, but you know, futures, that is the bearish component. You have a farmer who is long in the marketplace. You have a fund short that is, last I looked, was around 150,000 contracts short. Not quite as short as they were prior to pre-planning back in March, but they've built a short and they have absolutely no reason to cover. So I think you could have a orderly exchange if you get to a point where the farmer decides he's reached a stage where he wants to start pricing that. You could have a fund that easily liquidates his short position into that, and you don't get really a big rally in the futures market because of that orderly exchange. So that's something else to keep in mind of the length moving forward, that it may be hard without a demand story for the market to really have a lot of upside. The downside, I would also say, is relatively limited in the futures given what we know today, but the upside is probably also limited given those two factors.
Thank you for taking the time, Brian. Any final word for the day?
I would just say from the farmer perspective that, you know, put a plan in place. You know, we've had a long fall. We need to be safe. Everyone's tired. And I think at this stage of the game, we want to make sure we're staying safe and finishing up this long enduring harvest, and make sure you sit down with your local grain buyer and really put a plan in place for the unpriced grain and have some realistic targets in place.
Brian Stark is with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County, Illinois. I also talked with Jackie Vakes earlier in the week. She's with Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson. I asked Jackie about the grain stocks report and how she thought USDA would handle all the corn that is still standing in the field.
Well, they are, and you know, we're all very well aware that there's a lot of corn still standing out there in the country, and there's beans standing out there in the country. It's unlikely that the beans are ever going to be harvested, but they can't make that assumption. So what they're going to do is any grain that isn't harvested on the farm is going to be counted as on-farm stocks. which only makes sense. I mean, we've had years where, you know, we had corn standing into the spring, and it did ultimately get harvested. And so they can't just make that assumption that it's not going to. So that's how they're going to handle it. Anything that's still out in the field is going to be considered on farm stocks on the grain stocks report.
Well, we'll have a whole bunch of extra corn probably that shows up in that
so.
Way.
Yep.
It won't be harvested, so it'll be interesting to see how that ends up playing in the marketplace. I suppose everybody will be trying to tabulate what's left based on the last crop progress report, and we'll not have another one of those again until April.
Right.
So we're done at this point. And all we'll have to be able to depend on is the USDA grain stocks figure.
Well, and, you know, the thing with the grain stocks report, Todd, is that, you know, it so often drives the market from the standpoint that if there's a lot of stocks on farm, you know, that usually indicates, you know, that the commercial hasn't gotten as much grain as they necessarily need and puts a lot of pressure on the marketplace. And I think that's kind of playing a little bit into what we're seeing right now, as well as the fact that, you know, there's a holiday and it's the end of the month and all the other good things that are going on. But that grain stocks, I would expect, you know, the number that we'll see for on-farm this time compared to the following grain stocks report will be very different.
Other reports, export inspections.
Oh, export inspections. Well, we saw China take beans out of the Gulf again and out of the Pacific Northwest at a pretty good clip this past week, which is a great thing. Wheat exports are running 22% ahead of a year ago. They were 23 last week. Corn, 58% behind a year ago, 61% last week, and soybeans, 18% ahead, and they were only 9% ahead last week. So we're seeing some movement. I've been kicking myself, Todd, to be absolutely honest with you, that, you know, I know what happened with beans last year. When you looked at beans last year, compared it to the year before when we were front-loading, we had a lot of pressure on beans. Now, that's what we're experiencing on corn. So until we get to this point where we start to catch up and we get back to more normal purchasing for last year, we're going to be behind a lot for quite a while.
We can always tell a little bit about the market if we look at where the managed money is. Has that changed again this week?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. When you look at soft red wheat, they are 11,000, excuse me, long versus 5,000 short. And so they've moved to the long side on that. On corn, 129,000 short compared to 123, very little change there. We've seen beans go from 48,000 long to 16,000 long. So we've seen some longs fall out of that particular market. Soy meal, 29,000 short versus 37, and soy oil, 76,000 long versus 77,000. So not a whole lot going on in that particular thing. Beans probably had the biggest move, beans and soft wheat.
What are producers asking you most often at this point? What kind of advice have you been giving them about crops?
Well, I think that, you know, one of the things that we, of course, have been watching close is what basis is doing. And the national basis was like only 11 under, which is an extremely good number for this particular time of the year. So to me, I think it looks like the futures are not going to do the work. So the basis is doing the work out there in the countryside to be able to bring grain in. And what we've tried to do is encourage people to get some decent basis contracts, stay on top of it, and get a bounce in the marketplace. You know, then make your sale, because at this point in time, the futures just seem to be lumbering is what they're doing. And, you know, this is a hard time of the year. Sometimes you can get some really good prices during the holidays because people don't want to deliver, you know. So it just depends upon your particular situation, how you're set up. But I'd say at the moment, basis contracts are, you know, your best situation.
Hey, Jackie, thank you so much. Any final word from you today?
Yep, and I want to say happy Thanksgiving to all of our listeners and especially to you guys.
That was Jackie Vakes from Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson. She was joined on our Commodity Week program by panelist Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, and Brian Stark of the Anderson's Grain Elevator System right here in Champaign County, Illinois. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online, listen to us us on demand anytime you'd like. You can do that at willag.org. I'd also like you to visit this website, farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. There you'll find a link to the week of December 16th Illinois Farm Economics Summits. We'll be traveling across the state of Illinois with the Ag Economist from here on the Urbana-Champaign campus in Mount Vernon, Springfield, East Peoria, DeKalb, and Champaign all that week. The Illinois Farm Economics Summits. Your banker will be there. You should be too. Find all the details online at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. The cost is just $80 for the whole of the program, including your noon hour meal. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.